Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. And let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. Father, we just thank you for our time today. Lord, we just invite your presence to come. Lord, I just pray that you would just fill this place. I pray that your presence would rest on everybody. Lord, as they walk in, I pray that you would just have your way with us today. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do today in us individually and as you move throughout the room, God. We just thank you. You're our most honored guest. And we just pray that you come have your way. God, I pray that you would just guide our time today. I pray for your will to be done in it. And I just thank you, God, that in the midst of all that continues to go on in our world, that you are still God, you are still on your throne, and you are still in control. And I thank you for the comfort and the peace that that brings. Lord, I just thank you. Just come have your way. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when all this stuff started with what's going on in the world, both globally and locally, thoughts were forming in my mind. I was kind of building these theories as to what was going on and why it was happening. And I was doing this, you know, I've been doing this all the time that these things have been going on. But the problem was I wasn't totally sure of what I was thinking. I mean, part of the problem is everything we've been experiencing, everything we've been going through, everything is new. You know, the time we're in, we've never been in before. No one had. And so I felt that, I felt, you know, a degree of pressure. I felt a degree of responsibility as a leader in this time, that these things I was feeling, these things I was thinking, what do I do with them? And you know, whatever conclusions I came to, because I'm leading people, you know, I need to be right on this. And I just wasn't sure. And then, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference here a few weeks ago. And with that, the things that I've been thinking, the things I've been feeling were verified. But since I've been back from the conference, I'm continuing to get more thoughts. I'm continuing to have more ideas and feelings about things of what I think that God is doing in this time. We have reopened now and been open now for like around 8 months now. And we are, although we are seeing a stabilizing of sorts, even though we're seeing that, and we're seeing a kind of type of settling in what things look like numbers-wise, you know, even though we're seeing that, there are still a number of people that still watch us on Facebook. There are still people that, because of their compromised health conditions, are not here physically. Even though we kind of have some kind of an idea of kind of what we can expect on a Sunday morning, you know, and we know kind of what to expect when the door is open, I realize that everything is still subject to change. Because our world is still in flux. Even though we're kind of settling in a little bit, our world is still in flux. And because our world is still in flux, we are still in flux. I believe that God has and is still moving all the pieces on the board around. Meaning that although we have kind of sort of settled in to some degree in what things look like right now, God is still working in this time. God is still moving things around. God is still making changes. God is still making adjustments. And I feel that God is working very specifically. With every church right now, I think God is doing a very specific work. It's not just this general thing. It's very specific. And not just in what he's doing in churches reopening, for example, but he's continuing this as we are continuing to meet, as all the other places are continuing to meet. But, you know, and so he's making changes and he's making adjustments. And he's doing these for what is coming. and for what he wants to do in the days ahead. Because this process of his is still going on. This thing of moving pieces on the board, as I've said, which means moving people around, which means we can expect more people to be coming. But we can also expect some people to leave. We can see people's roles change. Some ministries will be birthed in this time that we're in right now, and some that are going on right now are going to see some changes. Some ministries will experience adjustments. Even though some people haven't left, there's going to be an adjustment in what they're doing, and there's going to be an adjustment in things, and so. There's going to be a difference in how things look, and there's going to be a difference in how people are going to be functioning. In some degrees, it will look similar to the way it's looked, but in other ways, it's going to start to look different. And everything and everyone is on the board right now. All of you are on the board right now. All of you watching, you're on the board right now. Which means that everything and everyone is subject to adjustment. Okay? Which means God is going to add to things. He's going to take things away. He's going to tweak things. He's going to refine things. He's going to cut things away, or he's going to add to things. To everyone and everything in the church. And this is what's going on right now. And this is also what's coming. We're in a new season. And we've used that phrase a lot. And even though we're in a new season, this season, even though we're in it, it's a journey because we're still walking through it. And we're walking through it with him. And so as the days go on and as we go further and further into this time that we have not been in before, the landscape is going to continue to change. And we'll have to adjust. We'll have to adjust for the climbs and the changes in elevations and the slopes and the curves. And for the straight and level times in areas of this landscape that we're walking in. And the thing about it is we don't have a map for this. We don't have a map for it. We don't have something to look at that say, well, you know, when you get to 6 months, this is what you should be doing. And when you get to 8 months, this is what you should be doing. We don't have that because no one has been here before. It's kind of like the tribes of Israel when they were moving into the land that was promised to them. They didn't have a map either. This land that they were promised, they had no map for it. They had no pre-written book for it. It says in Joshua chapter 18, beginning with verse 8, "Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, 'Go and walk through the land and describe it, and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh.' So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions." So here the entire congregation of the people of Israel got together, and they got together at Shiloh, where they put up their tent of meeting, and the land was under their control, but out of the 12 tribes, there were still 7 of those tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua says of them, he says, well, how long are you going to just stand around? You know, here's the land, go out and take possession of it. So they chose 3 men from each tribe. And Joshua would commission them to go and survey and map out the land, showing the inheritance that is due to each tribe, and then to report back, and then they would divide up the land. And so they went off and they did this. And when they came back, Joshua would cast lots, which is what they did, which was this impartial way of determining God's will. And they were using this process to divide the land amongst the tribes. So at this point, they had already experienced many battles. And they had taken the land. Some of it had been divided up already amongst some of the tribes of Israel, but as they took possession, some of the previous inhabitants, they could not drive them out. And so the ones that they could not drive out, they just coexisted with. But they divided up the land, and they set boundaries, and they established territories, and they built cities. And some moved into some of the existing cities that were already there. And they designated certain areas for set groups and for specific purposes, and they mapped it all out. And we, too, are also walking through a new land and a new time, and we are mapping things out as we go. Every church, as we go through this, is mapping out their procedures, their plans, their ways of doing things. Now, in this time that we're in, some churches are having big gatherings. And even though they have big gatherings, they have their challenges too. And they're having to make changes, and they're having to make adjustments, and they're having to deal with changes in their ministries and changes in their numbers too. With a large ministry, they have much more to contend with as opposed to a smaller one. But whether we're talking about a big ministry or a smaller ministry, either way, you know, the issue is really about faithfulness. Whether we're big or small, we all are facing risks right now in what we're facing. And everyone has their own sets of challenges, but regardless, it's all about God getting the glory. That's what it's really all about. And to being obedient to what God is calling us to be. Whether we're talking about a ministry or we're talking about what God is calling us to do and be in our personal lives. Now, part of the challenge is that in this time, everybody wants to feel secure and everyone wants to feel safe, especially in a time like this where there's so much fear. Even all this time that we've been in this thing, people are still incredibly fearful. And so in a time of fear, people want security. People want to feel safe, especially when things feel unfamiliar. And right now, everything feels insecure. There's so much fear. And part of it is because everything keeps changing. And it continues to do so. And so we're in a time of God very specifically rebuilding. And what he's doing doesn't always going to look like what we expect. And that's true of the time we're in now. And sometimes it's not going to look like what we want either. Because the whole thing is, it's not about our comfort. We want to be comfortable. And God's saying, it's not about your comfort. It's about what God is doing. And because of the discomfort, it exposes us. It reveals things about us. It reveals things that are in us that can only come out in a time of discomfort. And so we're in this landscape that is continuing to change. And we need to closely walk with God as we go through this. And this is part of what he wants us to do. We are in a time right now where God wants us to be close. He wants us to be hanging close with him, closer than we have ever been. Because it's something where he's not laying it all out in front of us and say, you see that, just follow it. He's saying, stay close to me and just follow me. But stay close, keep your eyes sharp, pay attention, because you don't know when I'm going to go to the left or to the right. You don't know when I'm going to stop or when I'm going to speed up or I'm going to slow down. So you got to stay with me, close with me. But the problem is that we want to feel confident. And we want to be labeled successful, both personally and what we're doing in the church, and we want our church to be successful. But there is success by the world standards, and there is success in God's eyes, and they are not always the same. Again, going back to the example of small churches versus big churches, you know, the world judges the small. And some of the Christian community judge the small, and they judge it as failing. But small in the kingdom can mean a great thing. It just depends on what God is doing. And in what we are called to do, and in who we're called to be. I mean, what if something is called to be small? To be something that's new, something different, something that is not what we've seen before. And before, the world would say, well, that's not going to work. That's not good. But it is now, because that's what God is doing. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what is God calling us to do? You know, we might be called to be small. We might be called to be big, and all of a sudden we're just going to erupt in numbers. You know? Or what you're doing. You know, you may be called to just be small. You may be called to be unseen. That person that does things and no one notices it. But there's a place and a time and a purpose for the small, and there's a time and a place and a purpose for the unseen. And so for some, this time isn't just moving the pieces around. For some, it's stepping into new things. And again, the purpose for it all is to give God glory and for God to grow and develop each one of you to meet the needs that are here right now and to meet the needs that are coming and to meet the needs that are actually forming as we're talking. And for the ones that are coming that we don't see that are here yet. Going back to Joshua chapter 21, it says in verse 43, it says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand, and not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Now, these verses here are a summary of the first part of the book of Joshua. God was faithful, but they had to be obedient. If they would obey, they would see the fulfillment of the promises of God. See, it's all about stewardship. Stewarding what they had. And in this time that we're in, it too is about us stewarding what God has entrusted us with. Going back to Joshua, going to chapter 15, it says in verse 63, it says, now as the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah, could not drive them out. So the Jebusites lived with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. So here we see the first mention, or the first hint, of the people not being able to conquer. Well, the question is, well, why couldn't they conquer? They got God. God gave them the land. How come they can't conquer? Why? Because they did not believe. And so because they couldn't believe, they couldn't drive the people out. And so therefore, they did take the land, but rather than driving all those people out, they had to live with those people. Go into the next chapter, chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. It says, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, according to their families, together with the cities which were set apart for the sons of Ephraim in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. But they could not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites live in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers. So here again, Ephraim couldn't drive out the Canaanites. Again, God gave them the land. God told them to go in and possess it, but they couldn't drive the Canaanites out because they also did not believe. And so therefore, they too would have to live with that which they could not drive out. Going down to chapter 17. Beginning with verse 17, Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, you're a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours, for though it is a forest, you shall clear it, and to its furthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong. So what happened here is the people, they start grumbling. About what they have. They want more. They want more. And so they go to Joshua, and Joshua's response is, well, you want more? Well, you know, you can have that hill country over there. You know, you've got a lot of people here. You know, you're a strong people. You know, and so if you want that land, you know, I give it to you. But you're going to have to go and work for it. You're going to have to obtain it. Just because I wave my hand and say it's yours doesn't mean it's yours. You've got to go and take it. And you've got the people, you've got the manpower to go and do that. You know, God is faithful. He had promised them the land. But to have it, they had to go and take it. Just like them then, so are we now. You know, we're in a time where things need to die. We're in a time where where things are changing from the way they were to the way that they are now. And these changes make room for new things. And that's part of what God is doing right now is as changes happen, it's creating a space for the new things that God wants to do. New things, new ministries. But the now can't come until the old is gone. And that's why the old is gone. Because as long as the old is here, we can't come, you know, the new can't come. And so the death of the old is creating a space for God's new. This is part of the reason for the pandemic and the shutdown. Is it's creating a space between what was and what is. Because the greater the space between what was and what is, the harder it will be for us to go back to what was. See, the problem is so many people still, you know, after all this time, still want to go back to the way things were. And there's where God was back then, but there's where God is now. And where God is now is here. He's not back there anymore. But people want to go back there. Why? Because it's comfortable, it's familiar, and they feel safe and all those things. But the thing is, God's not there anymore. God is saying, come with me, we're going into the new, and we're not trusting Him. Because it's new and it's scary. And He's saying, stay with me, I've got you, but just stay close with me. And we can take this time. But we're looking back over here and going, I want what was. But we need to go with Him. And with Him will come new faces, new roles, new ministries. But to see some of these things, you know, some things have to change first. Some things need to die. And the pandemic has created this gap. And the thing about it is, this gap is still widening between the old and between the new so that the new can come. And it also makes it harder for us to go back to what was because we're not supposed to be going back there, but people want to go back there. Because we like the old, we like the familiar. We like that feeling of safety and familiarity. We feel secure with that. But God is in a time where He wants to shake everything up. And that's what's been going on this last year or so, is God's been shaking everything up. Because He's doing a work in us and He's doing a work in the world. All at the same time. And we're in a time where some things have changed. But we're also in a time where some things have remained. Some remain, but even though they've remained, they're changing. You know, some things are still here, but they're different now. And what we do with them, therefore, is different now. Because the season calls for new structures and new ways of doing things, and some are having to learn how to play together with all of this. Some are being placed and changed for a time that is later. See, some of the things that are happening right now aren't for right now. They're for later. Therefore what's coming. And therefore, because they're for what's coming, things will be revealed in the days to come about what we're doing now. And so there's some things that we're doing now, and we don't have a full understanding or revelation of what we're doing because it's for later. And as we get closer to the later, we'll get the understanding. And so what's happening in our world is God is creating new ministries and positioning people specifically, and this is going to continue to go on in the days ahead. I remember back in 2020, as we were coming into 2020, I remember we had a gathering over in the other building on New Year's Eve, and there was prophecy spoken about 2020. And keep in mind, this is 3 months before the pandemic would start. But there was prophetic words about God was going to be clearing things away. And God was going to reestablish things. And there was going to be new structures and things like this. And you know what? All that stuff happened. We had no idea it was going to happen the way that it happened. But it's happening. It happened and it's happening. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. This is Jesus talking here. He said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.'" So Jesus is telling this story here. And it's a picture of Jesus going to the Father. But he's coming back. In the meantime, he calls his servants and he gives them what they need. It says at the end of verse 13, it says, "Do business with this until I come back," which means to occupy. It means to work hard. It means don't let up. It means to do the master's business. Now, a mina here is a Greek coin that was worth about 100 drachma, which one drachma was about a day's wage. So 10 mina was worth 1,000 days' wage. It's a nice paycheck, huh? Yeah. And so God has given us what we need to do his business until he returns. What this says is this, is God trusts you with what he's given you. We talk about trusting God, but God trusts you. That's a good word, right? Yeah. Verse 14 of chapter 19. "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We don't want this man to reign over us.'" So here's the problem is, Jesus has gone to the Father, but Jesus is coming back. But the world hates Jesus because they don't want Jesus ruling over them. And so here we are doing the Father's business, and we're doing it in a world that doesn't like him. Verse 15, "When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, 'Master, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, 'Your mina, master, has made 5 minas.' And he said to him also, 'You are going to be over 5 cities.'" Now, Jesus in this story here has come back. And to those who have served him, they are now standing before him. And there is this accounting for what they've been given. The first two were found faithful and they were rewarded. But also the reward included added responsibility. They were rewarded in that they were given more to do. And they weren't just given more minas. They weren't given more resources. They were given cities. They were given kingdoms. See, the time that they were in showed who they were. And so they were given what they were to reveal what was in them. And as they stepped into that, they were given more. They were given more resources. They were given more responsibilities. And it's all to advance the kingdom. And to use them and to grow, but also to expose them. And it's just like what he's doing with us right now. God is growing us, and God is exposing us too. But at the first, all these slaves, these servants knew was that the master was leaving. And that they had been given the things that they were given to do the things that he told them to do. And that's all they knew. Going on in this story, going down to verse 20, it says, another came saying, Master, here's your mina which I have kept away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you're an exacting man. You take up what you didn't lay down and reap what you didn't sow. And he said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Do you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I didn't lay down and reaping what I didn't sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. So we have this person here. This person represents not just one who was faithful and done nothing, but one who had no vision. He had no vision for what to do, and he had no vision for what could be done. He didn't take responsibility in this time, and he didn't take responsibility of the opportunities that were in it. He didn't have the proper concern for what he'd been entrusted with. But this person was another one of these servants. He was another one of these slaves, just like the others. And he had been given the same amount as the others. You know, trusted as the others were. So, in other words, he had the same potential as the others. But this situation revealed where he was. And where he was is that he was afraid of the master. Fear ruled him. His fear kept him from stepping into his potential as that the others had. He knew the master, and he knew that the master had expectations of him. And still, this slave, this servant, let fear rule him, and not the will of the master ruling him. And the first two didn't do this. But this one didn't do anything in increasing what he'd been given. I mean, he was given 1,000 days' wage, and he does absolutely nothing. Going to verse 24. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has more, more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So this person lost what they had because they couldn't steward it. The one who could was given what this man had. Now, in the Message version, chapter 26 reads this way. He said, that's what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. I believe that we are in a time of God specifically building our house, bringing in specific people. Some people didn't stay because they're not supposed to be here for what God is building now. God is doing a very specific work right now. Actually, he's been doing a very specific work. And suddenly this slave who had been a part of this house was chosen to have minas, but then he was out. But he was out because he had fear. And he let that fear rule him. You know, one of the greatest challenges that we are facing right now, that we have been facing ever since this whole situation started, is fear. That's the greatest enemy we have. It's not COVID. It's not all these other things that we're not happy about that's going on in the world. It's fear. Because fear has the potential to hold us back. And not step into our potential. To not step into what is ours. We have been talking about David last week and the week before. And God specifically picked David. And, you know, David didn't look like someone that would be chosen 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons, inviting them to the sacrifice. David was not invited. David was not included. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God doesn't see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he's tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." Now Saul, who was currently the king, he looked good. It says in 1 Samuel 9, verse 2, it says, "He was a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. For his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people." But notice that Samuel, the prophet here, who is going and looking to anoint the next king, he's making the same mistake that he made before. And the mistake is that God points this out to him. He says, "Don't look at his appearance. Don't look at his height. I haven't picked him." You know, you looked at Saul's appearance, you know, and he you know how he turned out. So here you are, you're doing it again. And the lesson here is this, is God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:12. "So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah." So yeah, David was handsome, but he was the youngest. And he was denied. I mean, he was not even considered to be shown to the prophet. He's out in the field watching the sheep. He's one of the sons, and he's totally left out of all of this. Later, he would be talked down to by his brothers. Samuel 17:28. "Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David and said, 'Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle.'" So David was shepherding the sheep. He wasn't in the army. His brothers had gone off to the army, but he's taking care of the sheep. And his father says, "Hey, take these supplies and go see the men in the battle and, you know, bring back some news of what's going on there." And he shows up there, and at the time he's there, Goliath comes out and makes his challenge to the army of Israel. And, of course, they're all in fear of him, and nobody's doing anything. And so as David is asking about, you know, what's going to happen to the man that takes care of this guy, is where you see this response from his brother. You know, but David was unaware of what was coming for him. He was unaware that all the time while he was shepherding, God was training him. He was training him for what was coming that he did not see that was coming. I mean, he didn't go to the camp of the Israelite soldiers and saying, "Hey, I'm going to take on Goliath today and I'm going to be the next king." It says in Samuel 17:34, or 43, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose against him, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me up from the hand of the Philistines." So he's the youngest. He's watching the sheep. He had been rejected by his family, but he was God's man. And this would be proven when the prophet anoints him. So, you know, he goes to the battle, and he's not, you know, imagining on his way there that he's going to be taking on Goliath. And he doesn't know what's coming. I mean, he knows he's been anointed king, but he's still shepherding sheep. And so he doesn't know how this is going to go, what this is going to look like. And so the thing is, how many of us have been rejected? How many of us feel rejected? How many of us have not been accepted? But we have bought into the narrative of other people. And we have projected that into how God sees us now. You know, how many of us have believed what we've heard people say about us? And we have let that be that which rules us. And we have let that shape how we see what God is doing with us. And as a result of that, we're looking at God and we're looking at this time incorrectly, because we have believed something that isn't how God really sees you. See, with David, he did the work first. You know, he was in training. And he was in training for a fight that he didn't know that was coming. So he's doing the work first. He's shepherding sheep. He's taking on lions and bears, but he doesn't know what's coming. He just obeyed his dad. He's watching sheep, serving his father. And his obedience leads him into stepping into the plans of God. And with that, then the understanding comes. See, for some of you, God is working in you now, but you don't understand it all. There are things that are going on with some of you, and you don't know what's coming. You may have a hint that something is going on, but you don't know what it is. See, for now, it's just about obedience. It's about obeying, even though things don't make sense. Maybe you're just being obedient, but you don't understand. You know something, but you don't understand it all. That's okay. It's a time to trust. It's a time to trust. It's a time to obey without fully seeing, without fully understanding, without fully knowing. See, David, once he gets down on that battlefield with Goliath, which he wasn't expecting to do that day when he woke up, he announces that he's going to kill Goliath. You know, he declares what God is going to do. See, and the difference is, David had God, Goliath didn't. But David was not what the world or Israel or the Philistines thought. In other words, they just saw this boy going out there. You know, he's going to die. I could see the soldiers of Israel just going, "He's going to die. He's going to get killed. This is going to be awful." And the Philistines are going, "Goliath's going to crush him." And no one imagined what was going to happened. We talked about punching through last week. David punched through because he had God. He had the calling of God, he had faith, and he didn't have fear. See, if we let fear hold us back, we will not be able to conquer the giants in front of us. With Israel, you know, we're talking about them when they were going in and taking the land. You know, they were in a new season. You know, God had made promises of them, but to see the fulfillment of those things, they had to be obedient. They had to believe. You know, they had been given all that they needed in order to see the promises of God fulfilled, but they did not believe. And because of that, they had the old with the new. when the old should have been gone. Now, for them, the old that was there would create problems because that old that remains would influence them in the years to come because it was allowed to be there because they did not step out in faith. They did not believe. With the story of the minas, you had two people that were faithful and one that was fearful. And this was revealed with God doing something new with them. When we get to David, we just got done talking about, you know, God uses the unlikely. God uses the unseen, that which is disrespected. And I say all this because, again, as I've been saying over the last several weeks, you are all leaders. Those of you that are watching me, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, guess what? You're a leader. Because we all carry the Spirit of God in us. We're leaders. We've got something in us that the world needs. And we've got it. We've got Him. That makes you a leader. As you start to let the God in you show, people are going to start following you. People are going to start listening to you. People are going to start looking to you because you've got what they're really hungry for that they don't know that they're hungry for. But what is God doing with you in this new season? You know, what He's doing is He's separating you from the old. But you may be having a hard time embracing this or letting go of what was. The question you need to ask yourselves is, what are you not believing that God is saying? What are you not believing that God is doing? What is scaring you that God wants you to step into? What is scaring you about that? What's holding you back from stepping into that? Maybe you see yourself as unlikely. Maybe you don't feel worthy or you don't feel respected. But the reality is God has been preparing you. Do you see that God has been training you? Do you see what God has in store for you? And that it's bigger than you could possibly imagine? Don't disregard what God is doing with you because of what man says. And this is hard right now. You know, following God in a time like this is hard. It's hard. You know, we've never been in this time before. And it has leveled the playing field to where the big and the small are all in this together. We're all struggling. We're all scrambling to make changes and adjustments. We've never been here before. We're all trying to figure this out. You know, we're all on this same field that none of us has been before. But like always, all we have to do is trust God. And so we all need to be walking very closely with Him right now. And as He gives us pieces from a map that He has always had, and He's feeding us pieces from that map piece by piece, He's not giving us the whole map and saying, here it is, just follow this. He's giving us a little piece and saying, here, do this. Okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. That's what He's doing right now. He's feeding us as we go forward with Him into this new time, into these new works, into these new things. And it's challenging us as we go with Him because we've never been here before. You know, we want the whole thing laid out. And He's not doing that because of how He's working with us right now. And it's not just that He's doing new things and that when we're in a new time, God is working in us. See, the thing about it is, it's not just a new time. It's a new us. In other words, it's a new you. It's a new you. Because the old us won't work in the new time. In a new time with new ways. And the problem some of us have is we're trying to hang on to the old. And God is saying, no, I'm making you into something new. So that you will be perfect for the time that is birthing and the time that is coming. And so what we need to do is we need to let go of the old. And we need to walk with Him into the new. And let Him make us into that new for that time. God is making you and has been working in you to make you into part of His answer and part of His plan for the new time that is birthing right now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing. God, I just thank You that, you know, there are some that would say that it's the end of the world. But I don't think so, God. I don't see You working so hard and doing so many things that this is the end. But I do see You working for a new day. Lord, I thank You that we're all a part of that. I thank You, Lord, that You have plans for us, purposes for us, for this new time. I pray, Lord, that You would just open our eyes, God, that You would expand our minds to see what You're doing with us, to see what You're doing in this time, so that we can get everything out of this time that is available to us, so that we can see ourselves as we need to see ourselves, so that we can see this time as it needs to be. God, I just thank You that there's no one in Your kingdom who is too small, undesirable, rejected. Everyone in Your kingdom has a place, has a purpose, has value. Lord, thank You that You are so personally working with each and every one of us. You always have, and You're continuing to do it now. Lord, I just pray for everyone that we would get everything out of this time, everything that You want to do in us, that we would get every ounce, every scrap of it, God. Don't let us miss any of it. And it's all for the furthering advancing of Your kingdom. Thank You, God. And we just give You glory. We just pray this in Jesus' name. So let me ask you these questions before I turn it over to Fred. First question is, what is it specifically in your situation that God is separating you from that was? What areas are you having a hard time embracing with God's new for you? What areas are you not believing what God is saying and not trusting Him in what He's doing? What is scaring you where God wants you to step into? Where do you see yourself as unlikely and feel unworthy or disrespected? And do you see where and how in the midst of it all that God has been preparing you? Do you see what God has in store for you that is bigger than you can imagine? What is it, and how do you feel about it, and why do you feel that way? So God bless you, and we'll see you here next time.